Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Graced Up Co podcast, a community of young women who are living each day via God's lens. And what that basically means is women who are making intentional decisions, intentional steps every day to follow God's leading for their lives, to be obedient to God's calling for their lives. If this is your first time listening, welcome to the community, and I'm very sure you're going to have an amazing time here. For the past 3 weeks, we've been on a podcast series where we're sharing on lessons from the Old Testament, and today we're having the fourth episode in this series, and I'm just so amazed at how far we've come. Like, this podcast series started as just one idea. I didn't even know how it would go, and here we are in the fourth episode. Thank you for listening. Thank you guys for your comments, your feedback. The feedback has been amazing. Thank you for listening, for sharing. I truly, truly appreciate it. Today's episode is going to be like, there's so much that we need to talk about today. And when I was just thinking about today's episode, I didn't know what direction to go. I was just like, Holy Spirit, just take control. And immediately I started writing. I didn't know when I had written up to 4 pages. So there is so much that God has for us today. And I just pray that as you listen, the Holy Spirit ministers to each of you individually and meets you exactly where you are. Because I know that this episode is for someone. So we're going to dive straight into today's episode. And the title of today's episode is How Far is Too Far? How Far is Too Far? Once again, can you guess who the main character of today's episode is? I'm not going to be saying the answer now. I would say the answer later down into the episode. So if you want to know who the main character is, you need to listen to like the middle of the episode. That's where I'll be sharing who the main character is. But just hearing this title, How Far is Too Far? Who do you think we're talking about today? Once again, go to our Instagram and drop a comment, send us a DM, let us know who you think today's main character is. Today's episode is like a continuation from our last episode. If you've not listened to that episode, this is a beautiful time to pause this one, go back, listen to that episode, and then come back to listen to this one. After Moses' birth and the beautiful life he had living in the palace, as he grew older, he knew he was different. He knew that he was called into something different. Coupled with the teaching that his mom gave him, he knew who he was. He knew that even though he was living in the palace, he was not an Egyptian. He knew his identity. He knew that he was an Israelite, right? He might be living in the palace at that time, but each time he saw the Israelites suffering, it reminded him that these people are my people. And he might be enjoying the soft life in the palace, but that didn't mean that it closed his eyes to the reality that his people were in bondage. And if his people were in bondage, it meant that he was also in bondage. If Moses was not aware of God's calling for him, if he didn't know that, oh, I'm called for something great, he would have remained comfortable. Like, he was flexing, he was having a nice time in the palace, and he would have just been comfortable there. And even de and he could have even denied that he was an Israelite, because who wants to associate with suffering? Nobody wants to associate with suffering. But because Moses was first aware of God's calling for his life, and then secondly, he had accepted that calling, even though at that time he had no idea the length and breadth of the calling. He didn't know the details. He didn't know that he was going to, he didn't know what that calling entailed, but he accepted the calling. And that was what pushed him to eventually kill an Egyptian. If you read Exodus chapter, I think chapter 9, you would see how he was pushed by, first of all, he knew his identity. He knew that these people are my people, and he just could not stand. He could not stand them suffering. He knew that it was not right for the Egyptian to keep inflicting pain on the Israelites. He knew he was, in quote, a savior. He knew he was supposed to save these people. He knew he was supposed to help them, even though at that time he didn't know how. But that's why his first instinct and his first action, his first reaction, whenever he saw the Israelites suffering, his first reaction was to try to save them. Even though the Israelites were like, we did not send you message, Joe, because they felt like Moses was going to put them in trouble. They were just like, leave us alone. We didn't ask for your help. But Moses was not at ease in the palace. He knew that there was more to this soft life. And he pursued that more. He was longing after that more. And that was what led him to running away from Egypt after he killed an Egyptian, and the Pharaoh was going to be after his life, and he ran away from Egypt. So we'll take a pause here and just take down some lessons. And the first lesson I got from this is that when you know what God has called you to do, and when you've agreed to partner with God as his vessel of honor, you would become uncomfortable wherever you are. When you hear stories of people that say, oh, I relocated back from abroad, wherever country they were living, having a good life, they were comfortable, but they relocated and came back to Nigeria or came back to Africa because they felt like they were called for more. And irrespective of the comfort they were experiencing where they are, they were not comfortable. And so they had to come back to partner with God and carry out the assignment that God had called them for. That's the first thing that just struck me. Like when you know that what God has called you to do and you've agreed to partner with God on that assignment, you just become uncomfortable. Like things that you would normally do and to be fine, all of a sudden, you're no more fine with it. You will not think twice to trade the soft life for a God life. Because you know that regardless of whatever comfort you have to sacrifice now, God has way more ahead of you. Like we shared in our last episode, there are no trade-offs with God. Like when you sacrifice anything for God, you're not losing anything. When you sacrifice something for God, you're not losing that thing. It's like a seed that you're planting. And a seed that's planted on the right soil will definitely grow to become something more than the seed. So there are no trade-offs with God. It seemed like Moses was living his beautiful life in the palace to eventually become a shepherd. Because if you read, I'm not reading so much of the, because if I read the verses in the Bible, it's going to take such a long time. But you can go back and read these stories in Exodus. But we know that when Moses left Egypt, he became a shepherd. And it was while he was tending to his sheep that God spoke to him, right, and told him to go back to Egypt. So Moses left his beautiful life in the palace to become a shepherd and literally spent majority of his life in the wilderness. Because after he even went back to Egypt and he took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they were in the wilderness for a long time, 40 years. Moses actually died in the wilderness. So imagine him living the soft life in the palace, living the comfort of the palace for being a shepherd, for living his life in the wilderness. But Moses did that because ultimately the definition of a soft life is a life that's in God. And I'm saying soft life, soft life, soft life, because if you're on social media, you know that this is a term that has been trending. The soft life, right? And soft life is usually termed as a life full of luxury, enjoyment, no stress, ease, flexing, and all of that, which is amazing. And I'm all for the soft life, right? No one loves stress. But ultimately, the definition of a soft life, in my opinion, is a life that is in God. A life that is at the center of God's will. A life that is daily led by God. And that's why I started this episode, just emphasizing what we do here at the Grace Stop community. And the reason why I show up every week when I can to release a new podcast or to record a new episode. The reason is because we are growing a community of women who are making intentional decisions and intentional steps every day to live each life via God's lens, to live not based on their understanding, based on their wisdom, but to live based on God's leading, right? And to me, that's the definition of soft life. Because any life that is centered in God, even though it might seem like you have to sacrifice comfort here and there, a life that is centered in God would definitely lead to abundance. There is no two ways about it. And Moses was aware of that. That was why he was ready to trade off the buffet, the luxury robes, the comfort to experience that God life. And this now brings us to the core of what you're sharing today. How far is too far? How far can God go for those who have agreed to partner with him? Those who have left their comfort zone behind? Because I've noticed that if you want to have God kind of results, you can't get it in your comfort zone for the most part. Like when you listen to stories of people who have done amazing things for God, whether in ministry, in business, in the family, in marriage, in whatever aspect of life, or even in the Bible, I can't remember any story that was done in the comfort zone. Most times, God will take you out of your comfort zone because he wants to prune you. He wants to stretch you. He wants to prepare you for what he has in store for you. How far can God go for those who have agreed to partner with him? God went as far as orchestrating Moses' birth. God orchestrated Moses' birth so that he was born at that particular time and at that particular season. Moses could have been born while Jacob was still alive and when the Israelites were treated right and there was no issue. He could have been born then and just lived a normal life and die, and then that's the end. But no, God orchestrated his birth to be in this time of need. And from his birth, God already saw how everything would play out. From helping his mom, Josheba, to hide him for 3 months, to Pharaoh's daughter adopting Moses. God always likes to show off for his people. He always likes to go the extra mile. If you listen to our last episode, you understand that I shared so much about this, how God would go the extra mile for his people. And that's exactly what God did in this case. And if you've listened to this point, you think that the main character of today's episode is Moses, but it's actually not Moses. Is the Israelites. Is the Israelites. The summary of everything that has happened so far from last episode till now, everything, the summary, the reason why everything happened was because of the Israelites. The freedom of the Israelites was the ultimate goal. It was the reason why Moses was born in the first place. Right? And going through this episode now, we're going to be sharing about how far God went for the children of Israel, just for their freedom. First of all, from Moses' birth. Now, after Moses' birth, and God told Moses, go back to Egypt and go and free my people. Moses was scared. Would Pharaoh answer me? Pharaoh is a very wicked man. If I go back, Pharaoh will remember the evil that I did and he might kill me. But God told him, I would go with you. And God told him, I apart from the fact that I will be with you, I would show off myself to Pharaoh and the Egyptian in a way that they would believe that I sent you and they would listen to you. And God literally showed off with the ten plagues. It first started like a joke when Moses' rod turned into a snake, and Pharaoh was like, "Do I look like a joke to you? Like my magicians can do the same. Like, are we playing here?" But things went south very quickly, and from their river turning to blood, to frogs, to lice, to flies invading the whole country, to death of their livestock, plague of boils, hails, locusts, darkness covering the whole place, and finally the death of the firstborn of every Egyptian. That's how far. And sometimes we can think like and say, "Ah, is it not too much? That God literally killed the firstborn son of all the Egyptians. Like, is that not too far?" Well, how far is too far? With God, he can go to the farthest ends of the earth for his people. Like, there's no length. Like, there's no distance that God cannot cover for his people. And at this point, it's very worthy to note that while these plagues were affecting the Egyptians, 10 different plagues, while these plagues were affecting the Egyptians, none of these plagues got to the Israelites. Can we just take a deep breath and process that? And to think that they were in the same geographical location. In Exodus chapter 10, verse 23, when there was a plague of darkness, in Exodus chapter 10, verse 23, it says that during all that time, the people could not see each other and no one moved because of the darkness. But there was light as usual, emphasis on as usual. There was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. So apparently, they were in the same country, but then there was a part where the Israelites were living, and then the other part was where the Egyptians were living. And for every single plague that happened, from the river turning to blood, to frogs and lice and flies invading the whole place, to the death of their livestock, for every single plague, none of them happened to the Israelites. Not one. Are you still wondering how far God can go for you? Are you still wondering? Let's continue. After all these plagues happened, right? The last one was the Egyptian first son died. And Pharaoh finally allowed the Israelites to go. And this particular one actually used to bust my head each time I think of it. While they were journeying to the promised land, imagine walking in the wilderness with very hot temperature during the day, very cold temperature at night, the reeks of wild animals attacking them, and all of those things. But God said, "I got you. Don't worry, I have your back." And he provided a cloud by day and fire by night. He gave them cool during the day and warmth at night. Like, that's where AC started. That's the origination of air conditioning. And nobody can tell me otherwise. No one can tell me otherwise. That is where the air conditioner was generated. That is where it was originated. A cloud by day. Like, they'll just wake up in the morning, and as the sun is coming out, a very cool breeze will just be blowing them as they are going. At night, as the sun is setting and everywhere is starting to get cold, warmth just come. Hey, Lord Jesus. I can go on and on talking about how far God can go. There was parting the Red Sea. Should we talk about that one? Should we bring science into it and try to break it down? Because sometimes when we read these stories in the Bible, we just read it like fairy tale. We just read it like storybook. but these things actually happened. And if we try to bring it home and bring it to our day and try to think about it, or try to let's even see if it was happening in our own time. Like, let's try to apply it to our time. Parting the Red Sea and then allowing Pharaoh and his chariots to drown in the Red Sea, because Pharaoh was a stubborn man, very stubborn. After he let the children of Israel go, he said to himself, "I've made a foolish mistake. Why did I let them go? Who will build our mansion for us? Who will produce food for us? Who will farm for us? Who will fan me when I'm hot? Imagine." And he says, "Where are my chariots? Let us go and pursue them and bring them back." And God said, "Come. If you do anyhow, you go collect." God said, come close. And they kept coming, and God gave it to them. And they drowned in the Red Sea. Then should we talk about manna from heaven? Manna from heaven. So you're just walking on the road, now food fall on the floor. Jollof rice and fried chicken and salad with cold coke. Or if you're doing Fit Farm, juice. It just fall on the road for you. Imagine that. Manna was falling from heaven for them. Every single day, fresh food. God was providing fresh food. Should we talk about water from the rock? Applying it to our own time, it might not look like water from the rock. It might not look like manna from heaven. It might just be that at the nick of time, at the right time, when you needed that opportunity, God provided. Just when it seemed like there was no more hope, God showed up. Someone that has not spoken to you for 15 years found your number and called you. Whew. Reading through all the stories, it now makes sense why the Old Testament is filled with different names of God. And I'm a person that believes that names are one of the most powerful things. I don't joke with names, right? And when I hear these names, Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is my banner. It makes sense why they would just stop and erect an altar for God and just worship him. Because it's overwhelming. One of my favorite songs, Reckless Love of God, he says, "Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God." God's love for his people, it can be very overwhelming. Like, God, you would go this length for me? Like, you are thinking of me even before I thought of the problem. You have thought of a solution. How? Reckless love. One line in Reckless Love says, "There is no shadow you won't light up. There is no mountain you won't climb up coming after me. There is no wall you won't knock down. There is no lie you won't tear down coming after me." Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. With God, distance is not a barrier. He would go as far as possible for you. And as I wrap up today's episode, I cannot help but see the resemblance between Moses and the Israelites and Jesus Christ and us. Just like Moses, Jesus Christ also left the comfort of heaven, came down to earth, was born in one of the most unpleasant places, in a manger where there were monkeys and horses and smell of animals and their poop. That's where Jesus Christ was born. He went through pain, went through discomfort, went through suffering. But tell me, what was the ultimate goal? Why did Jesus have to go through all of that? What was the ultimate goal? Your salvation, my salvation, our freedom, our redemption, freedom from sin, freedom from addiction, freedom from pornography, freedom from masturbation, freedom from fornication, freedom from stealing, freedom from lying. God knew before you were born that you have that addiction, and he sent Jesus Christ to come down. The Bible said his only begotten son, the only begotten son of God, sent him to come and die a cruel death for your salvation. Are you still wondering how far God can go for you? Or you're thinking, or the devil is trying to feed your mind with lies that God has left you, or you can never amount to anything great. Whatever the lies are, the next time those thoughts come to your mind, take this episode and shove it down the devil's throat. Remind him that your papa, the creator of heaven and earth, the one that flinged devil out of heaven because he was running his mouth, the one that sent his only begotten son to die specifically for you, is still in the business of going as far as possible for you. The thoughts that God has for you are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future, both here on earth and in heaven. Can the church say amen? Father, we thank you. Because again, who are we that you are mindful of us? Who are we that you have thought of us even before we were born? You have made plans for our existence. You have made plans for our salvation. You have made plans for our redemption. You have made plans for our freedom. You've made plans for our provision. You've made plans for our protection even before we were born. You knew that we'll be going through whatever it is we are going through now. And you have made provision for us. Lord, who are we? Papa, who are we that you are mindful of us? We thank you. We thank you. Because today you've shown us that there is no distance. How far is too far? The answer to that is as far as possible, as far as can be. And we are just so privileged and honored to be able to call you Abba, to be able to call you Father. Thank you for fathering us. Thank you for taking care of us. I love the way you father me. I love the way you are mindful of me. I love the way you constantly, consistently show up for me. Even when the devil tries to sow those evil thoughts in my mind, even when the devil tries to deceive me or play a mind game with me, you show up. You show up. Even when I'm deep down in shackles, when I'm deep down in habits or addictions that I'm tired of, even in the midst of that, you show up. And you remind me of the freedom that you have bought for me. You remind me that your son came to save me. And who the son has set free is free indeed. You remind me that you are Jehovah Jireh, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are my healer, you are my banner, you are my protector, you are my provider. Lord, we say thank you. We say thank you. Lord, may we never forget. May we never forget. May we never forget how far you are willing to go for us. In those times when our reality, our present situations seems to cloud our mind, cloud our eyes, and makes us believe that this situation is going to be the end of us, please, Lord, help us remember. Help us remember that you would go as far can be for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining me in this podcast series. I just believe that it has blessed you as much as it has blessed me. Once again, please don't hesitate to share this episode with one person. I know that this episode is here to bless as many lives as possible, and God wants to use you as a vessel to help share this good news. So don't hesitate to use the share button, share with your friends, share with everybody that you can share with. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.